Well, good morning and welcome to Trinity. If you're a kid who's sitting in the back and you can't see and you'd like to come down front, please feel free to come on down front. I'm going to be brief this morning, and I've got some stuff for you. If you want to come down, it'll be okay. I promise you don't have to. I'd like a little company. Can you see me in the back, kids? Yes, maybe a little bit. Okay. Y'all can see me back there too? All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to Trinity. My name is Mike. And I'm the pastor here. And you may not know this about me, some of you maybe, but my first two jobs in ministry were actually with young kids. First, I spent several summers on staff at a Christian boys camp in upstate New York called Deerfoot Lodge. And then my first church job, the summer after my junior year of college, I interned at La Jolla Presbyterian Church. And yes, La Jolla is at the beach outside of San Diego, and I interned in kids ministry. And so in the years that followed, I ended up working with high school students, then college students, then families, and then finally adults, which are okay. And all of those have been wonderful and rewarding in their own ways, but there's just something about kids. And so really, kids, come on down. Thank you. I'm glad to have some participation. I appreciate it. Yeah, come on, Isaac. This morning, you can see in this space, there's no breakout space. There's nowhere we can do kids ministry. And so we're going to do kids ministry, all of us together, this morning. Both sides, this side and this side. Big kids, kids at heart, you can come down too. So kids, eyes on me. This is, we just sang We Three Kings. Some of you maybe are like, but Christmas was over like 2 weeks ago. Why are we still singing We Three Kings? If there are any other church calendar nerds in here like me, Epiphany is the day when we celebrate the Three Kings, and that was this past Monday. And usually churches pick the Sunday closest to Epiphany to remember the kings, and I just decided I knew we were going to be here this week, and I knew kings and kids would be wonderful, so we decided to go with this Sunday, and here we are, Three Kings Day. Now, who can tell me? What story does the Bible tell us? Whose story is this? Somebody under fifth grade, sixth grade. Anybody?
You're fifth grade.
Okay. Whose story does it tell?
God's big story.
Tell us God's story. Great answer. Grown-ups, did you hear that? This book tells us God's story. Now, whose story does Epiphany tell us? Tilly? You know? Epiphany? Will? That is a very smart answer. Did you hear what Will said? Epiphany tells us Jesus' story. He beat me to the punchline. Epiphany, well, it tells us the wise man's story. That's what we just read, the wise man's story. But of course, it's not primarily the wise man's story, is it? Every story in here is primarily Jesus' story. And the wise man's story is no different. It's really God's story. And so we're going to start with God's big story. And then we'll see how the wise men fit in. Kids, I'm going to need your help with this. Okay? Are you ready? Okay. It's my kid giving thumbs up, which is awesome. Okay. Who created the world?
Jesus.
God created the world. And yes, Jesus is God. So, kind of. We're going to get an exposition of the Trinity here. Wonderful. God created the world. And when God created the world, how is that world described? How is creation described in Genesis as
good.
God created the world and it was
good.
That's right. But then what enters the world?
Sin.
Grown-ups, are you taking notes? You guys are fantastic. Sin enters the world and it all gets messed up, right? All the way. Everything gets messed up. The relationship between us and God gets all messed up. The relationship between people gets messed up. That's why sometimes, probably none of you ever fight with your siblings, but that's why sometimes people fight with their siblings or their parents. Even our relationship with the world got messed up, broken. That's why we have fires and hurricanes, because sin corrupted God's good design. And the truth is, God could have left us in this mess. We would have deserved it. After all, it is our fault, but he didn't. Instead, God put into action a plan that he had all along to bring us back to himself. And that plan continued early on with a family. Anyone know who whose family we're talking about. Tilly?
Jesus.
Yes, Jesus is always the answer. It's not the specific answer I'm looking for here, though. Do you know Nora?
Noah?
It's going to be one of Noah's ancestors. Yes, God does start over with Noah. We're getting closer. Nathan?
Adam and Eve.
No, not Adam and Eve. You got a hand in the back?
Abraham.
You nailed it, Lucas. Great job. Abraham. Abraham was a special person that God called, and God said, Abraham, I'm going to bless the entire world through your family. Through your family. God said he'd have a special relationship with Abraham's family, who would become known as the Jewish people today, often the Bible times, the Israelites, and that they were supposed to be a light to the nations, and that it would be through Abraham's family that God would draw people like you and me back to himself. Now, because God was dealing with people and we often struggle to get things right, this was a mixed bag. Sometimes God's people lived as they were supposed to, but more often than not, they went their own way. I'm sure none of us can relate, right? I mean, sometimes on my good days, I do what God would have me to do, but there are lots of times in my life where I don't do the things that God would have me to do. An example, just this morning, I was trying to get out the door to go shovel out the church trailer, and I was a little bit short with my son. This happens from time to time. Parents, we get a little short with our kids. Probably none of you, but I did just this very morning. Sometimes we still mess up. And that was true for God's people too. Until finally, the ancestor of Abraham, through whom God would bless all the nations, the whole world, was born. Do y'all know who I'm talking about? Now's the time for that answer.
Jesus,
thank you. Perfect. I hesitate. Is this a trick question? Didn't work like that the last two times. Up until this point, until Jesus, God had mostly dealt with his special family. But that would change with Jesus. And anyone who believed in him would be welcomed into God's family. That's why we're here today. The wise men, we're going to bring it back to the wise men. The wise men were the first people who were not Jewish to be let in on the good news that the Messiah had come. That the original promise made to Abraham that through Jesus, or through Abraham, all the nations would be blessed, it was about to be fulfilled. The light of the world had come into the world and had come for all people. He'd come for you and he'd come for me. Jesus, the light of the whole world, the savior of all people who come to him in faith. And that's what the wise men do. The wise men come to Jesus in faith. Can you guys say that with me? How did the wise men come to Jesus?
Faith.
With faith. And they go on a long journey to Jesus. They follow a light. What kind of light?
A star.
A star. Great job. And they follow that light to the light. Who's the light of the world?
Jesus.
Great job. And they bring Jesus special gifts. Now, who can tell me what special gifts do they bring him? Yes?
Myrrh,
that's right. What's another one?
Frankincense.
And what's the third?
Gold.
Gold. They bring him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, we don't really know why they give gold, frankincense, and myrrh, except that in the Old Testament, which we heard just a few moments ago, God said that there would be people who would come from the nations who would bring Jesus gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so they're fulfilling a prophecy, right? But there is some other interpretations as to why the church, this is the way the church has interpreted, why they bought gold and frankincense and myrrh. We actually just sang them. Have with me this morning, I actually brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. How fun is that? The gold right there, big old hunk of gold. Fool's gold. Okay. It's gold. You want to flex that gold? Pass it around. Don't keep it. I might need that next year. Okay. Gold. And frankincense. This is what frankincense looks like. It's in its original form. It's like little rock beads. Okay. It's made from the resin of a tree. doesn't really smell like much in this form, but it's meant to be burned, right? Like incense. So if you put it atop a hot coal, it'll release smoke and flavor, okay? It'll smell. Here's one that I'm going to pass around, the frankincense. And if you want, you can grab a little piece of frankincense and keep it. How about that? If you want to. Go ahead. You don't have to. You can just smell it and touch it and pass it around. That's frankincense. And then lastly is myrrh. Here's the myrrh. I probably shouldn't pass around the myrrh. It's like, it's a perfume. But it smells really strong. So if you'd like to smell myrrh, come on up. I'm going to hold it because otherwise someone's going to get doused. Someone's going to turn and douse a sibling. Pretty strong, isn't it? Potent. You know what the word potent means? That they're back that someone's going to get. And go sit down again. Potent means powerful. There's a song we sing, crowned with many crowns, a potentate of time. It's strong smelling, isn't it? What do you think about that? Can you imagine wearing that like a perfume?
No.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? Okay, you get a smell? Give it a big whiff. That's wild, isn't it? I know some of you grown-ups are like, I really want to smell the myrrh. Do you smell it? Here's what I'm going to do. I'll just pass the myrrh around for the grown-ups. How about that? If you're sitting near kids, make sure they don't dunk each other. Take a smell of that myrrh and pass it. Here's how the church has often interpreted why they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Keep passing it. Yeah. Gold is a precious metal, is expensive. It's a metal that's fit for a king, right? What's a crown made out of? Frankincense was often used in worship. You'd bring it into a temple. The priest would light some frankincense and smoke would fill the temple. I think we just sang that, didn't we? I look at this. Wise men. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. And then frankincense to offer have I, prayer and praising, all men raising. It raises up to God. And then myrrh. Myrrh is a perfume also made from the resin of a plant. And myrrh was often used to anoint dead bodies. Yeah. It was used like an embalming, which is like how you'd preserve a mummy, like a dead body. Okay. Now, anybody have any guesses as to why God would say in the Old Testament they're going to bring you these things, and then they do. Why do you think Jesus needed frankincense? What does that tell us about Jesus? King was gold. Yeah. He's important. Do you guys take that? Jesus is important, yes. He's also fit to be worshipped, right? Jesus is fit to be worshipped. Now, what about myrrh? Myrrh, like frankincense, made from tree sap, often in a perfume, used in embalming. It was to anoint a dead body. Why would somebody bring Jesus an expensive perfume meant to be used to embalm a dead body? You're dying to answer this question, aren't you? I know you're dying to answer this question too, but he's smaller, so I'm going to go with him. Yeah, Nate.
Because he'll die on the cross.
If you guys don't remember anything else this morning, that's why Jesus came, to die on the cross, right? Jesus came to die on the cross. And so he's given myrrh, perhaps, as a foretelling that Jesus would come and die. Now, they're all precious, right? Where's my gold? Is that still coming around somewhere? You kept it. You tried. It's gold. Anybody? Yeah. Gold is, I mean, they're all precious. They're all expensive. I know. Even for me, ordering them on Amazon, gold and frankincense and myrrh, they weren't particularly cheap. Back then, significantly more expensive. There's no two-day delivery in a snowstorm. They bring precious, expensive metals, each one pointing in their own way to the character and identity of Jesus, a king, a priest, worthy of worship, who helps us. This is what a priest is supposed to do. Help God's people enter the presence of God and worship God. And then, of course, the one who would die. Now, in those first 30 years of Jesus' life, there's another question for you kids, so listen up. In those first 30 years of Jesus' life, there were only a few people who were let in on the secret of Jesus' identity. Can y'all tell me who? Yeah, Ben? Not in the first 30 years. Mary and Joseph will, yes. Mary and Joseph were led in the secret. Who else? We talked about one group on Christmas Eve. The shepherds. Great job, Nora. The shepherds were led in the secret. Anybody else can you think of?
The wise men.
That's right. There are only a couple others. Elizabeth. Simeon. A couple we've talked about in the last couple weeks. But the wise men. You got more?
Yeah.
Tell me.
You
guys catch that? Herod was actually led in on the secret. Does Herod go to Bethlehem? No, Herod can't be bothered. He's too lazy, right? I mean, he's a little bit threatened. A king? I'm the king. And of course, what's going to happen in the next chapter is Herod's going to try to kill every baby boy born within that range of time. Jesus is going to miraculously escape. Herod is let in. Herod doesn't respond the same way as the wise men, though, does he?
No.
The wise men go and they worship. Herod tries to kill him. The wise men, we're moving on now. Sorry. I know. The wise men were the only group in that bunch, I'm pretty certain, who were not Jewish. The only ones, after thousands of years of God's special self-revelation, overwhelmingly belonging to his chosen people, the Jews. With Jesus, God begins to expand his mission, and he begins to invite people outside of Abraham's family into the family of faith. And Abraham's family is going to be extended that way. He invites these foreign men, the three wise men, into the story, into his story. And this is what Epiphany reminds us. It's God's story. Epiphany reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world, that we ought to go looking for Jesus in faith, and that when we do, he's to be found. It reminds us that Jesus is worthy of worship and that he is the light of the whole world, not only for the Israelites. It reminds us that, like the wise men, you and I are invited into the story. Now, did every kid get some frankincense? Where'd my frankincense go? Back here. Okay. I'm done with my little sermon, so we're going to pass out a couple more frankincenses. Anyone need some frankincense? Yeah, you want to get a frankincense?
I want more frankincense.
Give one to Emily. Here, take that too. You cannot have the gold.
No.
Okay. You already got some. Here's what we're going to do. If you didn't get and you'd like some, then after church, come on up. You can, grown-ups too, you can touch the frankincense and smell it. Otherwise, I'm just going to put it in a Ziploc and maybe save it for next year. In the meantime, kids, thank you so much for coming on up this morning. Oh, where's the myrrh? It's floating around somewhere. Did it get to the back? Did everyone get a whiff who wanted it? Fantastic. That's not the strong, is it? Okay. Kids, why don't you guys make your way back to your parents now? Thank you so much for joining me. That was lovely. Don't go missing me. I've got the myrrh. And smell like a dead body for...